got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills. We are the Geek Grills. All right. We got the know-how. We got control. We got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills. We are the Geek Grills. All right. We are the Geek Grills. We are the Geek Grills tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 211 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons, so please visit today at patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
Linda is not with us today. She's at Disney.
Lucky, lucky.
Right? Today we're going to talk about horror titles. Because, you know, woo-hoo, it's still spooky season.
Yes.
So, what have you been up to this geeky week?
I've just been doing more crafting on my Zo costume. Not much else has changed aside from paint and started applying suckers. But the, I'm going to have to hot glue them. The stickiness on the back of the craft foam that I purchased is not enough by itself. Or with the help of the paint. So it's time to remove them and ye old hot glue gun.
Yes.
Ordered the last of my makeup for the costume, so that should be here on the 27th, because they're back ordered because it's been run, and of course they are because it's Halloween. And then we had our Atomic Youth Aberrant game on Saturday, and it's so good. I love playing it so much, and I wish I didn't have to wait and like tamp down all the spoilers and glee that I have from it until like the episode has been released, because oh my gosh, these last two episodes have been so good, and I can't wait for other people to experience them. It'll be fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It's like everybody's gotten their stride. Like we've worked out all the, you know, you're getting used to a character and you're not quite sure how to interact yet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we've hit our character strides, and now it's just flowing real well.
Cool.
Yep. And then finally, I started playing Monster Camp again, which is the Monster Prom sequel game. And it's super fun, and now that they have achievements, I can actually claim all my achievements and get all the rest of them. I don't have a problem.
Well, let me see. Yep. I went to Raleigh this weekend and spent time with my son and his fiance, and it was her birthday. So I got to get some good ramen, which was awesome, because we don't have that near me. And went to my favorite Lebanese restaurant, Neil Mond, and viewed the wedding venue. So that was super exciting and awesome, and it is beautiful. It's this horse ranch that part of it's converted into a wedding venue. So there's like water, and there's this tree they'll get married under, and this beautiful like renovated barn space for the reception. And I had to work out like my husband and I are gonna do the sound. So I had to figure out where the power was and where I'm going to set up everything for the ceremony and then for the reception. So that was cool.
You have a tent or backup to move everybody into the barn in case it rains?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't supposed to rain at my wedding, and it ended up raining. So every time I know somebody who's getting married, I just like, check for rain. Even if they swear it won't rain, it might rain.
Well, it's not for a year, so we can't check for rain yet.
That's true.
If it does rain, we can move it all inside, basically.
Okay. That's good.
Excuse me. Is there room for everyone in there?
Yay!
I got all the lists from the shelters, and I've got Halloween costumes collected for all the little kiddos that are living in the shelters currently in my area, in my town, and I should be delivering those soon. The word I have so far is they are not trick-or-treating. They're just having parties, Halloween parties. So I'll get them in there, and that'll be awesome.
Woot!
Woot! I got my dress arrived for the Ren Fair, which the time that I'm going with you guys, because it's Pirate Christmas, and I might have to do a little work on the piece that laces up around it to either make it a little bigger. We'll see when I get it laced up. If it's too much lacing, I'll add some to the back. And then Linda's got that awesome hairpiece for me, the fascinator that should match. And but I wanted to show this. And I'll put a picture, of course, on the website for those that listen to audio later. But he made 3D printed me a dragon skull hair thingy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like the sword goes through it. We're in this 3D printing group, and somebody had printed one for a friend of theirs, and it was like this big cow skull thing. And I was like, ooh, hair things! And he showed his Loki headpiece. I'm like, but hair things! So he went looking for prints and found this STI of a dragon one and made it smaller for me. So I'm excited. We painted more ceramics. And those are off to be fired. I'll show them next week. We did mugs.
So. Very cool.
And then those of you who are regular know we had that mailbox taken out by a horrible accident in front of my yard. I did call and talk to one of the people who was in the accident, and they are all fine now. And that's good to hear. And also, my husband replaced the mailbox while I was away. Yay! So now I can not have to run to the stupid post office.
Excellent.
Excellent. Oh, and welcome to the chat. We have folks coming in. Hi.
Yay. A Voyager fan.
Nice. I'm a fan of almost all the Treks. I think the only one I haven't watched all of them is DS9. It was a time in my life where I don't think I owned a TV. And I haven't gone back and watched all those.
I think the only one I have watched all of was Next Generation.
Wow.
I've seen bits and pieces of the rest.
Well, you know, you can get them all streaming now.
Yep. All hail. Glory of...
All hail. Spooky season.
No. It's right. They got moved.
What got moved?
Didn't they get moved to Paramount?
Paramount. Yeah. Which is cool because it puts them in the same place. I mean, because kind of one of the only reasons I bought CBS All Access was for Picard and for Lower Decks. So it's good that they all moved over there. I've got them in one place.
Nice.
All right. So we're going to talk about horror games. What we like, what we don't like, what we're trying, playing now, old ones, I guess, whatever strikes our fancy.
I was just thinking of horror games that I have played. I was just going off horror games that I have played, which run a gambit.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. And I guess it's really an episode for Linda to not be here for. Kind of not her genre.
Yep.
She would hate both of the ones I tried this week. So I tried something called Visage, but that was very short-lived. I'm not liking it either. And not because it's scary, it's because it's so, like, nothing was happening, and I gave up. Like, I started the story, and it was like, okay, so this game is hard, it warns you. You know, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to die a lot. But it's, you know, figuring things out, and you're in a house, and there's creepy things, and then paranormal events might happen. It's got a sanity mechanic, which I really love for RPGs and stuff. So I was like, oh, cool, this will be up my alley. You know, if you stay in the dark too long, you lose sanity. And then you can find things like light bulbs, and you have inventory management is right at the front. They tell you that's going to be important. So paranormal events will happen, like lights will go off by themselves and you have to go turn them back on because you start to lose your sanity if you're in the dark too long. And I found a light bulb. I'm like, okay, at some point I'm going to have to repair a light. And you know, I was walking around. There's places like, what is this? Oh, someplace you can put candles. Sorry, I guess I'll find candles. And seemed going along really well. And then I got to a door, and I went in the door, and I was like, okay, if you start this story, you can't do anything else until this part of the story is finished. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll commit to a quest, basically. I get in this room, and nothing. I could examine things. Every once in a while, the light would go out, and I'd go turn it back on. I could open a closet. There wasn't anything in it but some clothes. I examined everything I could examine in the room. The door to, like, a closet and the door to go back out were both... I couldn't do anything. I could turn the handle, but not actually go out of them. I just got stuck and couldn't figure out what to do in the very first room after walking around the house that I actually went into. So I just ditched because I didn't have time for that. I was getting ready to go on a trip. I played this and the other game I'll talk about on Xbox One. Because kind of what I did, and I haven't played any horror in a while, is I do have Game Pass. So I went and looked through an article that I will put in our show notes and I'll post in chat that said, you know, what's the best horror games on Game Pass right now? And so that I could dig into a few before the show.
It's fair.
Yeah.
And is that also with the Man of...
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute. I'll give you some time to talk about what you're doing while I fart around with...
Okay, yeah, it was just... Yeah. I thought it would be fun. I was trying to think, like, what are some horror games I play? And I'm like, well, I believe that most people played some version of Bloody Mary, probably. If we want to get really technical. Just like games that you play as a kid and you try and freak each other out. Ouija boards are not allowed in my house, so this was the closest I got. My mother was livid when she found out we played Bloody Mary. Yeah, we did that. I think as far as the next game was in the early 90s, my children, there was a time of interactive VHS board games, and I had one called Nightmare, which was literally this creepy guy called the Gatekeeper, and then you would have six or eight characters that you could play. They were all based off, there was Baron Zemetti, there was Elizabeth Bathany, there was, I forget the witch's name, but they were all kind of folk popular characters. And then you would just go around the board and you would play with other people. And the gimmick of the game was not only would the gatekeeper randomly pop up at times to mess with you and be like, if you're this color, go back this many steps. But at the start of the game, you had to write down your biggest fear, put it in the middle. And before you could win the game, you had to get the select the fear card. And if it was yours, then you had to go all the way back to the start. And if it was somebody else's, you won the game, basically. But you had to do it before the hour was up, because that's just how long the VHS tape was. And anytime he came on the screen, you had to stop everything. And you had to say, yes, my gatekeeper. And if you didn't, and somebody else squealed on you, then you lost a turn. It was super fun. I had at least one sleepover where we all kind of tried to pretend to be the characters. So even like when we were done for the rest of the night, we were talking in terrible accents, trying to still be like the vampire Elizabeth or the witch. I can't remember the witch's name, or the ghost. It was cute. It was a fun little game.
That's fun. I also tried they're
supposed
something...
to have. Go ahead.
Pardon?
I was just going to mention that they were supposed to have sequels tapes because you bought the game. Initially, it came with the board. I never got any of the sequel VHS tapes, but I did watch them on YouTube. Uh-huh. I think they went ahead and did like three other characters, which was kind of neat.
Oh, right on. That is pretty cool. This is not the site I was looking for. I also tried a Telltale game. Which you know, I guess it's a Telltale game. They it was weird because I read about it and it was like, it's like a choose your own adventure movie and blah blah blah, and I was like, it's a Telltale game. It's like exactly that format. And it's called Man of Medan. Now, the first time I tried to load it, before I went to Raleigh, it wouldn't load. It would just black screen, sit there, like, well, hell. And so I didn't get to play around with it much, but I did watch some of it today, and it was quite good. I look forward to it. I want to try a different mode, because I'm not sure if it's couch co-op or if it's... you know, your Xbox game friends, because I did have a choice at the beginning asking if I wanted to play alone or not, but my husband was working, so I didn't want to test that right then. So it walks you through this first horror story. The mechanics are a little weird, because I mean, you watch part of the movie and then you can walk around and look at things, get clues, and you know, walk around, there's some jump scares, there's you know, you have to find a key to get out of a room, that kind of stuff. And, it was, like, out on a ship just post-World War II, you know, waking up in the medical bay from being punched out, and then something horrible has happened on the ship, like, that you got to see little flashes of. But the mechanics were weird, because sometimes you had to use, for things like choosing your answer, right? Usually you have a wheel, and you pick an answer. You had to, like, hold down the right stick and move over to it. But the right stick is also what you use to aim when you have to, like, shoot something or punch something. And the walking, like, just the combinations of what you had to hit for what was not consistent. So it was almost like playing an ancient game on the Mac that was made with QuickTime, where you had to, like, just follow what directions pop up, you know? Instead of having consistent controls. So that was a little annoying, but from the way it looks, it's going to be told in little stories. Because then after you do the whole first little adventure, which just has basically a couple tutorials in it, a narrator comes and explains to you that, you know, he's an observer and you are being put into these situations to make choices for other people. And then the story will go as you decide. Which is kind of a neat concept. And I'm going to probably play some more of that. I don't usually play that kind of thing. The only horror games I've really played in the past were things like Dead by Daylight. And then the zombie shooter I can never remember the name of. Which was like the only
Dead
shooter I've ever liked. Huh?
Or Resident Evil.
Not Resident Evil. I've watched a lot of that play, but I haven't played it. It's one that I reviewed with Part-Time Gamers when that show was before it pod-faded years ago, and I had the best
time. Yeah, the
only
one I know of is House of the Dead, which is like an old Sega one.
No, it was a PC game we played on Steam. I could open my Steam account, but I'm not doing that right now. I'll figure it out at the end of the show, but it's like the only shooter I ever really enjoyed. Not that I was great at it, but I enjoyed the game, and it surprised me, because shooters had never been my thing, really. And I like horror board games, too. I did want to mention that. House on Haunted Hill is a really good, really well-designed board game.
That's the one where you, as you go through, you get cards and you build the house together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody... Yes, I love that one.
It's really
and of course
good.
There's
and my son owns it, and he says it has an awful lot of replayability, which is terrific.
Yes. I think we actually have a copy of that. And I also like Arkham Horror, but it is long. It takes a long time. But it's perfect if you're snowed in with friends.
Snowed in.
Which is about the only time we've actually beaten the game.
It doesn't tend to happen here.
It was not supposed to happen that February, but surprise!
Yeah, once in a while we get a nice storm where we can't go anywhere, but being originally from Western New York, I end up driving anyway and usually going to pick up stranded people because I know how.
Yeah. I remember our place at the time. You had to get up a kind of this steep hill to get to the main road to turn out. It was just all ice, and nobody had like four-wheel drive to really get out. Matt and Linda did get up, but as soon as they went to get on the highway, and there was like no trucks yet, no salt, everything is just pure ice. They're like, "We're gonna turn back around."
Yeah, that's no good.
It turned out to be a good call on their part.
Now, do you also have that Coraline game?
No, but
Or
I
have you
did play
played
it
it?
with her.
Okay. Because our other co-host has Coraline, and I bought that for my niece, but I believe they haven't even opened it yet. I should have just bought it for myself. I kind of want it.
See. Yeah, I think my first horror game I ever actually played was this terrible PlayStation 1 game called D. And I work at the video store, so I would occasionally just rent PlayStation games because that's the system I bought. I had Parasite Eve before that, so I'm like, "Oh, this will be a horror game." And we didn't have any of the others that my friend suggested, like they suggested Clock Tower, they suggested Silent Hill. We didn't have those. We had this one, which kind of reminded me of 13 Guests, but edgy and darker. It's literally you go through a house, there's tons of jump scares, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And the only big takeaway I have from it is there's this part where, like, this voice is guiding you through, and they'll go, "Laura, Laura, look up." You look up, and your character looks up, and you see the ghost. But like, my best friend's sister was named Laura, so they were over at my house at that time. So for like, to this day, we still harass her by doing that. And she's just like, "What is with you weirdos?" We're like, "It's fine, it's fine."
Yeah, I like true horror games. I have to say, like, where I've got to solve a mystery or I'm getting a really good story, because it's the same with me in horror movies. I like a psychological thriller. I like to have the story unfolding. I mean, I really enjoy watching Scott Johnson play Resident Evil, and those kind of games, because there's also a story besides, fighting. But jump scares is being not something I'm all that susceptible to. I will say again how much I hate Five Nights at Freddy's. I cannot stand it. I used to have a co-host who loved that game, and I got stickers. I got stuff in a loot crate for it one time. I just mailed it to him. I'm like, here. I don't get it. I don't think it's good. The puzzles aren't even good, and that would have been the part of it I liked. And from the research I was doing for this show, I think they made it worse. It was describing Five Nights at Freddy's, the new one or whatever that's available now, and it's you don't even leave the room. You can control lights and doors. You're not even walking anywhere.
Oh, I thought they were always like that.
No, I used to be able to. I remember walking down the halls around the main stage. Like, it had different
Okay.
rooms you could go into, and then sometimes you'd have to solve, like, a little puzzle to get in there. But I'd much rather, if I'm going to be doing puzzle games, I'd like to be doing stuff like keep talking and no one explodes. I love that game.
Okay.
But, it's not classified as horror. It's hard for me to find games I like anymore. And I was looking at a lot of the horror games that I thought I like the look of, I like the graphics, and I liked some of the gameplay. They seem to mix puzzle games with platformers all the time, and I suck at platformers. Like, can I
I was
just
going to
have a
mention
different way to get
Limbo on
these
that
puzzles,
note.
please?
I don't know
Hello?
if you ever
Oh,
played
there you
that
are.
one. It's another puzzle platformer.
Which one?
Limbo, but it's
I
all
have.
black and white and shades of gray. It's fun. It's a puzzle platformer, and like you have this little boy, he just keeps going through the world, but there's like bear traps everywhere if you miss jump, and but it's all black and white, so it's not like red and gory. It's just like inky darkness.
Ah, yeah, I want to try
aesthetically,
these Plague
like, Tale gorgeous.
Games.
I was gonna say aesthetically, it's gorgeous. Like we got it on the Xbox way back in 2010. It's just so pretty.
Oh. I see it. Yeah, it was in the article I read. I was looking at that, and I was like, I love that art style. It reminded me of Ori and, you know, some other games that I've liked. But it's like, I know I'm going to get frustrated because I'll get a short way in and get stuck on some kind of platforming thing where I can't get to where I see I'm supposed to get to and give up. So I didn't load that one up. I do want to try Plague Tale, though.
Okay,
because that's
that
a
one.
Stealth survival horror, and I'm kind of like more into the survival stuff than I am anything that has a platformer. And often survival games, I mean, it's a different kind of puzzle because you know you have stuff like inventory management. As long as it's well designed, collecting the right things to be able to get to the next part of the story. I'm hoping it's that good.
I also have a recommendation for Alien Isolation.
Yeah, I saw that.
From the chat. Thank you. It's a single-player action-adventure game with stealth and survival horror features.
Now, somebody on a show I was listening to today was talking about that. That's available on Steam. And I believe it had like a really big... And that's a full-price, like $40 game. And there's been a lot of hype about it for a long time. A lot of people pre-bought it, and then they forgot, like, it's there. Yeah, it was an... Oh, no, this is an older one. Okay, I was talking about the wrong game, sorry. There's a new Alien multiplayer out that the community kind of, like, forgot about it, so now it's actually online, and there's only, like, 800 people playing.
Ah, okay.
But no, Alien Isolation does look good.
See, I'm trying to think if I have... Like,
and
I have a bunch of games
horror
with, like...
too. Okay, let me see.
Creepy aesthetic. I think the only other horror game I tried was Amnesia. Which the Dark Descent, you're in a castle, and you're walking around, and you can interact with stuff, but I just... kind of. Apparently, I played it for 37 minutes and got bored because I couldn't find anything to do. Like, I could pick stuff up, I could put stuff down. There's, like, creepy noise in the background, but I'm like, eh, and I just have never gone back to it.
Oh. Okay, so Isolation is on Steam and Xbox and PlayStation and Windows. Ooh. That's another thing that happened to me this week, by the way. I had to activate a new phone for one of my kids. And I got 6 months of Stadia free.
Oh, cool.
Which, I'll tell you out there, it does not give you the kind of giant access to a whole bunch of free games like Game Pass does. It's a lot fewer games. And you get this access and it's like, ooh, and then you actually get in there and it's like, oh, you still have to buy everything. Not sure how that's a great subscription compared to how Game Pass is doing it. Darkest Dungeon is something I'm curious to try too. If anybody out there has, let me know if it's worth. Because I don't have a lot of space. I'm deleting games to put new games up. But this is supposed to be Lovecraftian horror, and it's a roguelike RPG. And the art looks cool as hell.
Yeah, I think that one was also recommended to me, and I have yet to play. I haven't purchased it yet to play it, but
see, we just gotta play more of these.
I just need time.
I know. You know what we should do is commit to for our Halloween party episode next week while we're drinking. Maybe we'll at least play a horror game. Find a multiplayer. And play a horror game together.
I am not opposed to that. Worst
the
case,
only tricky
I could
aspect
run
is
Bluebit.
Linda might have to stream it, because if I have to use Steam, we're not gonna. It is unlikely we're gonna find one I can play on my Mac on Steam.
That's fair. I about to say I do have. Speaking of RPGs, Bluebeard's Bride.
Okay.
Which we could always give a shot. It's a, is it Magpie? Is the game creator? I got it at PAX Unplugged back in 2019? Before Plague. Everything is fuzzy. BP, before Plague. but it's, yeah, it's based off the Bluebeard legend, where you are Bluebeard's new bride, and you are different aspects of the bride as you kind of guide her through the castle. So you could be like, the matron figure, the innocent figure, the aggressive figure. Like, you'd be different aspects of her as you encourage her to survive in this strange, haunted place. And there's different versions of it that you could run. And if you get a chance to play it at a game, at like a convention, I highly recommend it. It's super fun. It is a fantastic game.
Oh, right on. Always,
and
yeah,
then
more time.
I also have, like, a bunch of old Buffy games, like the Buffy RPG and the Angel RPG, and I have the Dresden Files RPG. We can make something happen. If people are open to tabletop, we could definitely make something happen.
Yeah, that might be tricky to do sitting at our desks, but if you could make it happen... We'll discuss it.
I mean, it's...
We're not going
to
have much time
kinda, that's
when Linda
how we've
gets
been
back,
running the Aberrant game.
Huh?
That's how we've been running the Aberrant game, is basically on a Zoom or a Discord call. And because we're all different states.
But do you have maps and stuff?
We do for our D&D game, which they use Rule 20 for. Because that way there's you all log in and you all have access to see the map that the one account is.
Yeah, I've played D&D online everyone. Using several different systems, but I haven't played other RPGs online to know what's available for. Although, oh, what's the other one? The other popular one we were using besides Roll20. But Roll20, I think, has now two where you can buy other games, like modules and other games it's compatible with, which is kind of cool.
That's neat.
It is.
Yeah, because I think it was originally just set up for like some D&D.
Yeah,
so it's
Roll20
good that
has
expanding.
A marketplace. There's The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which is a Wizards of the Coast. There's a Cthulhu Magic game here.
What was that one game Abby ran? Alice is Missing. That was a good one.
Ooh, I've heard of that one. Yeah. I think one of the kids liked that one.
And that one, you basically, everybody has the YouTube video that they pull up, and it does kind of this countdown thing. So you have, like, the music ambiance in the background the whole time.
I love that. I love that touch.
It makes me so happy. Because, again, it reminds me of the nightmare game with the VHS. Because when the gatekeeper wasn't on, it was just a black screen with the timer and, like, just ambient music.
Yeah, I got grief from my kids trying to have a conversation with them about these games. Because, like, that's not horror, that's survival. That's not... this, that's that, you know, they had to be really picky and about what was what. Like, I don't like Doom, but it's because it gives me vertigo. Like, it makes me throw up. I can't even watch people play Doom. The newer versions are better because it's a little more open with the technology we have now, but any running through hallway stuff in the older games I could never deal with, so I never got into those ones. But
I will say,
Fletcher was adamant that Don't Starve is not horror. And I was like, but I mean, there's monsters and it gets dark and you're, I mean, yes, you're trying to survive, but I mean, there's like a spider person and like even the characters themselves are kind of creepy. And to me, it's still, it seems like a horror world that you're doing survival in. And he was just like, well, by that logic, Minecraft is a horror game. I was like, all right, never mind.
Well, I mean, there's a horror mode that I can activate in, what's the farm game that I play?
Well, I mean, and when I played World of Warcraft, Stardew I could Valley. Make my garrison look spooky, yeah. But that doesn't make it into a horror game, I guess. Just if it's just a skin. But when there's suspense and danger, like, that's a horrific position to be in, right? Like, that's the premise of horror.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, Vampire the Masquerade, kind of horror, but does have one specific section that feels that you're investigating an old hotel, mm-hmm. and there's just this constant creepy background noise as you try to like figure out what happened in this hotel and uncover that's really good. And there's another part later in the game that calls back to it as well.
See, that's interesting, because yeah, I don't think you could even call stuff like Bloodlines, it's not a horror game. The characters happen to be vampires, but
yeah,
it's an RPG.
Yep. But it did have like a few bits like that that honestly did give me some like scares. And then that stupid werewolf, after I was done getting the initial jump scare of it.
Did you turn on God mode?
I did not need God mode. I just needed, like, a half hour to really focus on it.
Well, there you go. Success. Yeah, Madame Madame is good. People who don't like jump scares, I don't know how many there are. There were really only a couple attempts at it in the adventure I played through at the beginning of the tutorial. There was one that... It caught me off guard that I don't know how to describe. It's almost like a little tingle at the side of my neck. Like, instead of actually jumping, like, my body does physically recognize, like, that was supposed to be a jump scare. It's like, okay. That would have sent someone out of their seat. And then, I got verification of that, because my husband was on the other side of the house and texted me. He's like, okay, that scream that just happened made me jump out of my chair. But you don't have to turn it down or anything. I'm just laughing at myself. I'm like, I already turned it down.
Nice.
Yeah, he can only play spooky games when I sit next to him. So it should be interesting. Yeah, maybe we should stick with an RPG next week so Linda can be in character.
She has played Bluebeard before. I was able to run it once.
Okay.
For a Glitter Dice episode that we recorded, but the audio got foobarred, so we never got to share it.
Oh. Well, then maybe that's a really good way to, now the two of you are on here, we use that game. Yeah.
And we can try it again.
Kind of faded for now, or hiatusing or whatever. And then you'll have the Bluebeard episode you always wanted. And you'll have to send me some stuff about it so I have a clue.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to bring to drink? What are you drinking? We're going to drink and play games next week, people.
It's going to be fun! I got to figure out what... I'm sure I can make something delicious out of what we have in the liquor cabinet, right, hon? I can make something delicious. A drink.
I mean, I kind of just want to go with wine.
Yeah, apparently we have cocktail fixing. I have no idea what I'm going to be drinking.
Me neither.
No. Next week.
Like, I'm tempted as the nerd and bar person I am to come up with fancy, some Halloween-themed drink. But I also just love wine.
Like, we have some absinthe.
Excuse me.
We have some absinthe that we got forever ago.
I love absinthe.
Could have that.
Oh, the right absinthe. I do have a friend who brewed their own, like, got wormwood and made absinthe. I don't recommend.
Oh, wow.
Do not recommend. There is a reason it is so strongly, strongly herbed with other things, because wormwood tastes like actual death.
Yep.
It's bad.
Gotta have that strong anise flavor to balance it all out.
Yes, it's bad. So anyway, folks, please chime in. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com, and you can tweet us at geekgrills, and thank you to Angel Aureus for giving us a recommendation already in the chat today. You can always join us live for that at some point. But we'd love to hear from you about your favorite horror while we're still in spooky season and trying them all. So what are you most anticipating coming up, Ray?
More crafting. I've got more work I want to do. I want to ideally get this whole costume done before next Monday. We'll see how that goes, because I'm going out of town and I won't be able to actually wear it until the 31st, so I want to make sure I've got all the kinks worked out. Also, the next Atomic Youth game, I'm for Aberrant. I am super psyched for, because my character will be going on a date, not date, not sure, but I'm super excited for her, because it's full of superhero teen drama.
Right on. And those of you who are really, those of you who are really curious about Ray's Zoe costume she's talking about, it's coming along fantastically, and I did put it as our title graphic for the last episode of the podcast, which was fun. I'm looking forward to, of course, dropping out the Halloween costumes at the shelters this year. That's always nice. And then maybe they'll send me pictures. I've been doing this for years and years, and I've only had one year where they sent me like pictures of the party, and I got to see the kids, and that made my Halloween. Also anticipating, I still don't know what the hell I'm going to be for Halloween, so there's that. And sausage. I got to order more casings, so I don't know exactly when I'm going to start this, but I had made that kielbasa, and I smoked it, and I sent pictures to my stepmother, and she showed them to my dad, and then I got a surprise in the mail last week, and my dad sent me a proper sausage stuffer, like with a crank handle, so the nightmare of doing it with the KitchenAid is no longer a thing. I've got the right tool.
Hooray!
I did a happy dance. I saw this box, I'm like, oh my god, who sent that to me? It's like he conspired with my husband. I didn't know it was coming. And yeah, I got way too excited over something so mundane. And then another person I had met online through the fundraiser nightmare I just had to deal with sent me, because my mailbox, I didn't have a mailbox, and they were holding my mail, so I didn't even get the food ads this week, sent me like a picture of, hey, Food Lion has 99-cent butts this week. So I picked up a couple butts to freeze so that I could make a whole bunch of sausage at once. And my dad was apparently so excited about me doing this that not only did he send the sausage stuffer, but he got my great-grandfather's recipes and sent me copies to make a bunch of different kinds of sausage and stuff. And I talked to my sister the other day, and she said, like, my dad's got arthritis real bad, and he can't hunt anymore, and it's hunting season, and he's been just horribly depressed. And she said, this is the happiest I've seen him in a long time. He was so excited about the conversation you guys had about making sausage. So I'm looking forward to that, and everybody's going to probably get summer sausage for Christmas.
I would say definitely your dad. Sounds like he's
excited for it. Have to mail some north. So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Mondays. Be on October 25th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll be having a little online Halloween party. Like I said, bring your spooky drinks.
It'll be a good time.
It'd be a really good time. Maybe we'll take some calls or something too, you know? Why not? What the hell?
Anything goes. I don't know. So, in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch. And another way you can show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. And you can check out what topics we're going to do next month on our schedule below on the Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest a topic for us, and we'd love to hear your ideas.
Absolutely, always. So where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDane and on Twitch as Ray Ino.
Cool.
What about you?
Well, you can find me at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Heresy and Hearsay also has a Twitch page, so people might want to go follow there. And you can find our other host, Linda, at Disney World. No. but on Twitch and Instagram under madcap_misc. And check out her website at madcapm.com for all her wonderful crocheted nerdy goodness. Thanks for listening, everyone, and good game.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.